The council has been given some shocking new powers in the renters' rights bill. We're going to delve into it in detail, all the points and how it's going to affect you as a landlord or even as a tenant on this week's show. Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. So, renters' rights bill, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it bad news for landlords?
Do you know what? I feel like we're going to be... have a really well-rounded opinion though, because we for years and years and years have been tenants and we're also landlords, so I feel like we can very much see it from both sides. So I'm quite excited. Like, obviously we know, but we haven't majorly discussed our individual opinions, so it'll be interesting to see if we have the same opinions.
Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Yeah. Why don't we break down all the important changes and then we can give our opinions. I'd love to know what you guys think as well. Let us know in the comments. Are we right? Are we wrong? Is it good news, bad news? Let's start with the big one that everyone always talks about. So Section 21 is being abolished.
Yes.
Let's look at it on paper first, and then we can look at the reality of what it's actually going to look like. So here's the on paper version. So there's two ways that you can end an AST. You've got Section 21, which basically means you don't need a reason. It's a no-fault eviction. Anyone, any reason, even it's just that you don't like the colour of their hair.
Yeah.
You don't have to say
you
that.
You can go, goodbye.
You can just say, I'm serving you a Section 21, and then they've got to go. The other way you can evict a tenant is through a Section 8.
Yes.
Which is where they'd actually give you a reason to want to evict them. Like, they've not paid their rent.
Or you're moving back in.
Or you're moving back in, but you've got to give a reason.
Yeah.
So on the face of it, you think, well, it's kind of fair enough, right? You should have a reason if you're getting rid of a tenant. Why would you want a no-fault eviction if there is no fault? Especially as Section 8 covers things like you want to move back in.
Yeah.
If there's no fault. On paper, it seems to make perfect sense.
Yeah, it does. But it also makes no sense at all.
So it makes perfect sense, but no sense at all at the same time. A bit like that statement.
So what I mean by that is, I get that. That does kind of look, you think, yeah, so what? Why is it an issue? The problem with Section 8 is it's way more faffy. You've got to go to court. You've got to, well, think
potentially.
Potentially,
yeah.
Think how long that's going to take. So it's hassle. You've got to prove that you're moving back in or whatever it is. It's a lot of effort on your part. Well, Section 21, you can just do it. Now, it seems like all fair enough. Oh, but if they've done nothing wrong, why should they have to move out? Well, let's face it, if they weren't doing anything wrong, they wouldn't be moved. I mean, how many landlords just go, do you know what? I've got the perfect tenant. They always pay. They don't trash the place. And I, for a laugh, can kick them out.
Just because I can.
Because I can. Because I feel all powerful. Said no one ever. Like, so I feel like saying, oh no, it's not fair to just kick people out. No one's doing that. What landlord in their right mind is going to be kicking them out for nothing? Therefore, they're obviously getting kicked out for something. Therefore, I think it's harsh. Then they deserve to get kicked out. And the chances are you'll evict them with Section 8. They'll get kicked out. But it's just going to be way more faffy and longer for the landlord. So actually, I'm really against it. I think that is just, like, annoying.
I agree with you.
Landlord's going to kick out a good tenant anyway, so...
What you're saying is, just let norm... In the same way that if a business doesn't perform well, the customers stop using them. If it's a bad customer, the business can stop selling to that customer. And it's just... Capitalism...
Yeah.
Just works.
Look, I wonder how many people are going to go to court under Section 8 and not get evicted and go, no, you're right. You're just a really good tenant that they're trying to evict and you're no fault of your own.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I ran a letting agency for many years and I evicted many tenants where they were at fault, many tenants where they were behind on their rent.
How many times did you serve one to someone who was doing nothing wrong and paying their rent?
Never. And how many times did I serve a Section 8? Never.
Yeah.
I only use Section 21. No fault. Just because it's easier, quicker. Yeah. You haven't got the hassle. So I agree with you. In principle, it sounds really fair on paper. It looks...
Yeah.
It sounds really reasonable. And it is reasonable. The reason that it isn't reasonable is because the courts are so rubbish.
Yeah.
If the courts were good And it was like, you go to court, within 2 weeks, you get a hearing, you sit down with a fair judge who assesses it quickly and makes a decision. I'd go, love it.
Yeah.
Great system. But Section 8s are already bad. They suck right now. Imagine how much more they're going to suck when there's no Section 21.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a nightmare. You're going to be waiting months and months and months, aren't you? And yeah. I just think, and the chances are, they are going to get evicted because they're bad tenants. Because who's going to do that for good tenants?
Yeah, so we're against that. Yeah. Stupid Boo. Rule. That's the big one. Boo. If I was holding a flag, it would be red. All right, number two. All tenancies become periodic. So what this means is, at the moment, like, we've had tenancies where we've moved in and signed like a 2-year contract and then we've wanted to move out and we've ended up having to keep the house. We had Woodlands, we had two houses.
When we bought this.
We were paying for. Yeah, we decided to buy, an opportunity came up, we were stuck in a contract, so we had to carry on renting it for months.
Yeah.
That will stop. You won't have the fixed terms anymore. Tenants are going to have the option to give 2 months notice at any point. So you move a new tenant in, brand new tenant, they move in, they go, actually, I don't like this house as much as I thought I did. I'll have my notice in 2 months and they can be gone.
I quite like that rule. I think as mainly living as a tenant, I like that flexibility. I kind of think that should be one of the perks of renting. One of the major perks of it not being your own home is you can move, you can change. And I think, I'm all for that. Certainly as a tenant, great. As a landlord...
Oh, as a tenant, this is all great, by the way.
Yeah. I know. But I'm just saying, yeah, so I'm thinking tenant, amazing. Yeah. No, but you say that, but I'm not jumping for joy as a tenant at Section 21.
Being abolished.
Because I've never been kicked out, ever. Oh, no, I was serving an eviction notice once because they were moving back in, and fair enough, it's their house. They're coming back. But I'm a good tenant, and I've never been served a Section 21 other than that. So... to me, I'm not like jumping around for joy because I feel like the only people jumping around for joy on that are bad tenants. So I kind of think, if you're jumping around for joy, what kind of tenant are you?
Yeah. Like, well, in a minute, we'll go through the different reasons that you can
kick them out
under a Section 8.
But sorry, back to what were we saying about the...
You think it's a good rule for a tenant that they can give notice any time?
Yeah. So I think for a tenant, it's obviously great. And I'd be really excited about that as a tenant. But as the landlord, I don't think it's that bad. Because again, it is hassly moving. I can't imagine tenants are just moving in and out of properties every 2 months for kicks. Like, because you've still got to pay your deposit. You've still got the moving fees. And 2 months is a fair whack of time. Like the minute you find out, great, whip it on, put it up on this day, put it on Rightmove. Like you can only put your properties on so early anyway, can't you? Mm. So if we were moving now, for example, we wouldn't be, and we were like, okay, let's move in January. You wouldn't be looking for properties now, would you? You'd be thinking if you were renting, you'd...
If in 6 months' time we wanted to rent this house out, yeah, would you put it on the market now? No, we wouldn't.
No, it's too early. So I do think 2 months, and I think you instantly think, oh my life, I'm going to have tenants come in and go in and come in and go... But I don't really feel like that many people live like that. So for me, I'm not worried about that as a landlord.
I agree. I think it does seem a little stacked. So like, for example, you can't do that with other things. Like if you get a new car and after 2 months you don't like it, you can't just go, I'm sending it back. You can't do it.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It would be good. You can't.
Oh, I'd be jumping for joy at that. I'd love a bit of that.
You can't even do it with your mobile phone. If you get a mobile phone or a contract, you can't.
But then a house, you can just go.
But are you home? Oh, you can. It seems a little bit stacked towards the tenant. However, again, as someone that's done both, I don't think it's that big a deal for the landlord. Like you say, you just rent it out again. And I do think it's a real perk for the tenant. So overall, I'm not against that change.
No, I'm not.
Even though it's anti-landlord and I'm a landlord.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, I agree.
I'm not particularly against that. All right. Number three. Possession grounds rewritten. So basically, and we'll get onto this. So if I don't pay my rent, one of the reasons that you can kick me out under Section 8 is if I don't pay my rent.
Yeah.
And the rule is right now, if I'm 2 months in arrears, you can serve me an eviction notice, you can take me to court, you can say he's 2 months in arrears and the judge will side with me. However, there's one more stipulation. Not only have you got to be 2 months in arrears when you take the tenant to court,
yeah,
they've also got to be 2 months in arrears on the day of the court case.
So could someone just the day before just pay a little bit off and then suddenly it's thrown out?
So if the rent was, say, £1,000 a month, and let's say you were my tenant,
yeah,
and the rent was £1,000 a month, and you owed me £2,000, and I took you to court.
And I paid £10 before the day
you're
before.
You're no longer 2 months in arrears, you're slightly less. So now the court case will get thrown out and it would start all over again. Tenants are doing this. People that know how to game the system are doing this right now, and it is very annoying. There is a loophole around it, though, for the landlord.
Thank goodness. Everyone's thinking, for you, because that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. So what you do is you take them to court on ground 8, 2 months in arrears, but you also take them to court on grounds 10 and 11 as well. Now, they are some arrears and persistently late. So you take them on all three. So that way, if they pay the £100, it's like, fine, but you're still behind on some arrears and you're still persistently late. Now, the problem with 10 and 11 is they are up to the judge to decide. So the judge will look at it and go, is it persistently late? It's not like black and white. It's like, well, let the judge think it through.
If that's the first time they've ever done it, they might say,
might let them off or whatever. Whereas ground 8, 2 months in arrears, that is like all the time, you always win as long as you can prove that. That is the case.
And they don't know the loophole of just paying off a little bit before it gets there.
So massive hack right there, any landlords.
Yeah.
Make sure you include more than one ground for your Section 8. That's the first thing. However, this is changing. This is the point of this rule. The whole point of this whole topic I'm talking about now. It's no longer going to be 2 months. It's going to be 3 months.
Nah, I don't like that.
Go on.
Well, if you live somewhere, you should just pay rent, shouldn't you? Why are they giving people more flexibility? Look, I kind of feel like, other than under an absolute exceptional circumstances,
1 month should be enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's agree.
Before we know it, it's going to be like, actually, they can stay up to 2 years free of charge. Like, no, if you live somewhere, you pay.
Yeah.
Just like people who buy their own house. Are the mortgage companies, how many months late can you be on your mortgage?
How long do you actually think? Well, that is a very good question.
Like, why are landlords so different? They've also got to pay the mortgage. Like, how many months can you go without paying your mortgage and the banks are just going to let you off? Oh, no worries, no sweat. Like, so why should it be any different? Why are tenants held to no accountability? That's what that feels like to me. Like, I've never been late with a payment on rent, and I feel I'm quite a good tenant. I just think that's giving no accountability at all.
I think a couple of days late or something, I'd kind of be cool with.
And I'd let a month slide under, like, if they were like, oh my goodness, I've just lost my job, I'm searching for a new job, I'm going to take back, like, fine. But I just feel like this is just going...
With your mortgage, after one missed payment, they'll contact you and go, hey, you missed a payment. 2 to 3 missed payments, your account is now officially in arrears. And after about the 3 month mark, they could apply to the court to repossess your property.
Yeah, exactly. And they'd take your whole property off you. That's such an extreme. So they've got the punishment. So basically, if I did that as a homeowner, I could get my house repossessed. Tenants, nah, no sweat. They could take you to court now to get you evicted. That's a joke, that is. Like, it's making tenants have no accountability.
And this is, by the way, before you could even take them to court.
Yeah. It's basically, giving them, don't worry. That's just screams, don't bother paying your rent.
Yeah, agreed. So I've made a list of all the reasons under Section 8. So with 21 gone, here are all the reasons that you can evict someone under a Section 8. So number one is if you want to move back in.
Yeah.
And that's for you or your family.
Yeah.
Want to move back into the property, which is fair. And in this case, you've got to give them 4 months' notice.
Yeah, I think that's fair on every part. I mean...
I think 4 months. I've always thought that the... where it's like 2 months' notice and stuff, it's really harsh. When we got given notice, it was like 2 months.
It's
not very long to find a new house, is it? I think 4 months is very fair. You also can't do it during the first 12 months.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And like... We're quite good at moving because we've moved so much. But I can imagine, like, a family, say they've lived there for like 10 years and they're totally, imagine how much clutter and stuff they've got. And then they're told they've got to be gone in 2 months. I agree. It's on the short. We can do it because we're so used to moving.
Yeah.
That is, I think 4 months is fair enough.
Yeah.
And surely you don't need to get back into that property. I mean, if you're planning on moving back, you'd normally know, like, around here, everyone works overseas and comes back. But you would know, you'd think, right, come September.
I also kind of think tough. If you've rented it to a family, tough.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you do have to wait at least 12 months and then give 4 months notice.
I'm for that one.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
Number two, and this is a new one, so this is now ground 1A, so it's added in. This doesn't exist at the moment because you just use Section 21.
Yeah.
But if you want to sell the property.
Okay.
So now if you want to sell the property, you can now do that under a Section 8, which again, I think is a good rule. It's the exact same. 4 months notice, not in the first 12 months. Again, I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, I do. Because if you plan on selling it, you shouldn't be renting out, should you?
No. And if circumstances change, all right, tough. You rented it to a family now.
Yeah, they've got at least 12 months they should be allowed to stay.
I agree.
Yeah.
Next is your serious arrears, which is ground 8, which we talked about, which is changing from 2 months to 3 months, which I think is a joke.
Yeah.
But whatever. I think you should be able to use it to get rid of them. And then you've got 10 and 11, which is discretionary. It's up to the judge to decide, which is they're regularly paying it late. So they paid every month, but they always paid it late.
Yeah.
You could go, I'm a bit sick of this now. And you could serve them a Section 8. Or if they were like 1 month in arrears, but for ages. You can't just live in arrears. So that is discretionary. Next is serious antisocial behaviour or criminal offences in the property. If you've got like police reference numbers, if they've been convicted, if there's multiple incidents, things that are going on in the property, it's like, this is just a joke. You can serve a Section 8. It will get taken. They will get kicked out. The judge will always rule in your favour. Slightly more minor than that, just normal antisocial behaviour. I don't know what normal antisocial behaviour is. Not extreme
well,
antisocial
behaviour. Well, I'm guessing that's... Do you know when neighbours just don't get on? So say you kept getting reports from the neighbours going, we hate the tenants you've put in, we hate... And it's just... They just don't get on, but they're not doing anything extreme.
Got here examples. You've got an incident diary. You've got witnesses, i.e. neighbour statements. It's just continual repairs to the property. Yeah. It's like they're treating it badly, things like that. That is then up to a judge to decide. And then the other one is if they don't have a right to rent. So if you've somehow managed to rent it them and they don't have a right to rent here in the UK.
You can.
And short notice, 2 weeks. Get out.
Okay.
Immediately.
That's where they draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. They're not paying. Oh, that's cool.
Cool. But that, outright.
Yeah.
They don't get a chance.
Redevelopment. I suppose that's similar to selling it, isn't it? So they've got to give them 4 months notice if you want to redevelop it.
And again, I think 4 months is fair.
Yeah. If the mortgage takes possession, if you don't pay the mortgage and the mortgage takes possession, they get 4 months notice to get out. Again, that's fair. Could happen anytime, but it's not your property anymore, is it? So they're the sort of main things you can do under a Section 8. So there is quite a lot of scope.
Yeah. It's just faffy though, isn't it? I feel like... They've just made it difficult, though. They've gone, oh, let's make it more difficult for the landlords.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like my point stands. A landlord would be only trying to get rid of a tenant if they're a bad tenant.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really annoying.
You might as well just keep them on fault. Forget the whole court. Like you say, we rented for 15 years. Yeah. No one ever served us Section 21 because we were just decent tenants.
Yeah.
Let it police itself.
Yeah,
I feel like they're jumping on, overcomplicating it.
Yeah,
it all makes sense in theory, but just let the system work.
Yeah, like it did, but they're trying to make out that landlords just evict people left, right, and centre, which just is. Oh, I mean, please tell me, have you ever been evicted and can hand on heart say you weren't behind on rent, you were great, and they just did it. They weren't moving back in. They just did it for a total laugh.
It'll be
but
one
do you
of
know
the
what
reasons.
I have thought of when they might do it.
Go on.
Would you kick out good tenants to move family members in that wanted a house?
You're allowed to. As landlord or
friends,
family
then,
move back in.
Friends. If your mates went, oh, any chance we could. And they went, oh, brilliant. Okay. I know they've only just moved in, but sod it. We'll kick them out. They're great. That's where you could possibly do it. But I think that's so little times that would ever happen. Like, we've never done that. Like, and we've never had someone do it for us. But that's the only time you could literally kick someone out. But other than that, you're not going to, are you?
No.
If you're a good tenant, unless it's one of these reasons anyway, where you can get kicked out anyway, you're not going to get kicked out. So I just think an absolute no to that rule.
I agree.
Well, not that I can
everything
say.
Everything so far.
Not that I can say. No, we're not having that one.
Anna for president. All right. Number four. Next big change.
Okay.
It's a big one.
Oh, no.
you're no longer allowed to increase the rent when you want. You can do it once a year via a Section 13.
Yeah, I'm totally for that. I don't think you should be allowed... I know we did last week, we did all about raising rents, but I don't think you should be able to raise it more than once a year. Flipping out, then people are moving in and won't have a clue what the rent... Oh, well, in 2 months it could be a whole different... I think once a year is absolutely...
And also, you... There's a ban on bidding wars. So do you know when like they put the property up for rent and then people go in and the estate agent encourages you to bid more because there's loads of people looking for it? We've actually had this happen to
us. Yes, we have.
And it's like everyone's looking and it's a bit of a bidding war. You can't do that. So you've got to put it on for the price you want and you can only accept
that or below
or less.
Do you know what? I think that's decent as well. I think they take advantage, don't they? When they know you've got a property, like one of the properties we had, that everyone likes, they take the mick, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough because the property's worth what the property's worth, isn't it? So I think that's fair enough because I do almost think that is taking advantage of people. It's taking it of the emotional.
Like this rule as well. Yeah. I actually do like this rule as well. I don't.
Because we've been stung by it, haven't we? We've never done it to anyone.
Do you know what, though?
We've had it done to us.
The bidding war thing, I kind of get, but I wouldn't personally have a problem with that because at the end of the day, that's how business works.
It's and I like, suppose you would do it on a sale of a house, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If someone...
I don't personally... And at the end of the day, it's not like the tenant's forced to bid more.
No, do you know what it is, though? I think they do it and they lie about it, though, to do it. I don't think...
Yeah, but still, even if they are lying about it, right? Even if they are, which is unethical from the agent, but even if they are lying about it, the tenant is still choosing to pay. If it's a negotiation
I know
tactic,
it is, but if that house, and they've put it on for that
but
much...
But why only in this then? Why is that not a practice that's outlawed in every... Like, why just for this?
No, but you don't though. You don't go down the supermarket and then go, oh, well, I wanted that last pack of yogurts. Oh, well, I'll pay more Sainsbury's for it, please.
No, but what did happen, and it was legal, is when the toilet paper shortage happened, for example, and there was extra demand, what did they do to the prices of toilet roll?
Yeah.
They upped the price. If there's more demand on a property, the easy way, the fairest way, when there's lots of people that want the same house, is to up it and see who's prepared to pay the most.
Yeah, but then just put it on for more.
Yeah, but we didn't know that. We didn't know that loads of people... So let's say you put it on.
Yeah, but then you're a bad estate agent then, aren't you? They should know this property would be very...
Listen, I don't disagree with you in print. I'm not like, oh, I'm really strong about it because I want to do that. But I just kind of think to bring a law in about it.
Yeah, maybe a law's a bit strict. But I do think the better principle is you put it on for what you want. Because if you're looking for a property and you're on a tight budget and this is the budget...
Well, then you then go and get a different property.
But then what are you going to do? Well, I have to go for a lower property because everyone's probably going to bid. Like, that's just stupid. Just put it on for the price you want for it.
But it's in the same way, though, we think the opposite with asking prices, don't we? When you've got a budget of, say, 280, you go and look at houses for 300, you think, I'll knock them down.
Maybe that's what they're going for. They want landlords to raise the prices a little bit. And they date low. I don't know. I'm just not...
It just seems like a weird rule.
But
however,
I do think it's annoying.
And the reason I don't like that rule is because it's a willing buyer and a willing seller. Where I do like the rule more is the annual rent increase.
Yeah.
Because then you've kind of trapped them. If you like... We had it happen to us at Jordan's.
Yeah.
Where it was really good rent. And we were like, it was really cheap, wasn't it, compared to the others? We went for it. And then within no time...
I think it was 5 months later.
They were like, oh, by the way, when the 12 months finishes, we're upping it to...
But it was like something like £900 more.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's really unreasonable.
Oh, suddenly now it's in line with all the others. The only reason we went for this was it was a great deal.
Yeah.
And now we've got to move again. So they kind of tricked us into it.
Well, we did. That was a classic example where we said last time, they didn't tell us we had to move.
Yeah.
But we did because we begrudged it. We were like, well, no, because...
Now, they could still do that under this. If you want to put the rent up, this is how it works, right? So you serve a notice. You've got to leave it, only do it once a year.
Yeah.
And you say, here's my new rent that I want to charge you. It will come into play in 2 months' time. And then the tenant can either accept it or they can challenge it. Now, if they challenge it, it will go to our next point, number five. PRS database and a landlord ombudsman. So basically you've got to register for an ombudsman.
Yeah.
If you don't like the rent charge, in this case we're just talking about, the tenant can go to the ombudsman and say, this isn't fair, this is what they're saying. The ombudsman will come in as a neutral person, they'll look at it, look at market value, and they'll go, no, that actually is market value, that's fine. And then they'll say, yes, tenant, you are got to accept or you can move.
Yeah.
Which I actually quite like that whole set. As long as the ombudsman is good, this is the thing. Like, it's like, we looked at the courts earlier. As long as the courts are good, yeah, but the courts suck. I've got half a feeling the ombudsman will suck.
Yeah.
If they do and they're slow and everything, then that'll be a bit of a nightmare.
So if they go and put a complaint in, can the rent not go up until it, or does it go up and then they're, so who's fighting who? So does the rent go up?
No, it wouldn't go up.
And then they're fighting. No, you just can't put it up until it's been signed off.
What I'm sort of hoping would happen, and we'll have to wait and see, because you've got to give them 2 months' notice. I'm hoping that within the 2 months...
It would get sorted if it was...
It would get sorted. But who knows? Maybe not. Maybe it would take
a year. Yeah, I agree. So in principle, that sounds fine. But yeah, but it's like, oh, you gave 2 months' notice, but you had to wait 6 months for the verdict.
We don't know.
No, we don't know.
So what do we know about the ombudsman? Okay, so we've got a new landlord register. It's being built. Every single landlord in the UK needs to, number one, create a profile for themselves. Number two, register each property that they own. And when they register the property, they're going to have to update it with things like the gas and electrical safety certificate, the EPC, their repair history, their... deposit agreement, all the stuff like that.
Yeah.
Again, you're talking about sort of controlling it. They want to get a grip on the landlord industry, which I'm not totally against.
No,
do you think
there's
a lot of cowboys out there?
I do feel a bit like, oh, here we go again. More rules, more... But is it a bad thing? I don't know, because at the end of the day, people do have the rights. They should be in properties that are safe, that have got the gas certificate, that have got the right fire regs. So is being made to prove that your properties are like that a bad thing? Yeah, it's a bit faffy. Especially, say, if you've already owned like 50, 60 properties and now this is coming in and you've got to do it for all your properties and like it's going to be some... you're going to have a big admin week that week. But at the same time, can you call yourself a good landlord if you're not doing those things anyway? I mean, it should literally be admin work, shouldn't it? Uploading it all. It shouldn't be, oh my gosh, I actually haven't bothered to do the fire safety checks. I haven't got a gas certificate. I mean, people should have the right to rent safe properties.
I agree. I agree.
It's just a bit faffy, isn't it?
It's just loads of extra red tape, isn't it?
Yeah. But if you're a good landlord...
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be something that the estate agents can sort of help you with and take care of.
Because they normally do, don't they, when you're
getting
out properties.
Yeah, well, they do with deposits and things, don't they? So it might be that you can just pass all this to an estate agent. It might not be a bad thing. I'm not totally against that one.
It'd be interesting what that totally looks like when it comes into play.
Yeah. All right, next. Number six, decent home standard. So they're introducing a decent home standard, a clear baseline for any properties that are in this new ombudsman that they'll sort of judge.
So things like EPC being C or above.
Yeah, things like the property being warm enough, it being safe. Basically, yeah, just I'm not exactly sure what it's going to look like, but it's got to be a decent home.
Yeah.
It's got to be like livable and bare. You do see, don't you, sort of it makes the newspapers like properties that have got rats in them and, you know, things like that.
I think that's fair enough. Our first ever property when we first got married had mold, didn't it?
Mm. And when we moved in, literally.
Yeah. And it was quite a modern building, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we were so...
That's that drink. Thanks.
We were so excited. We'd moved into a modern apartment. And then we opened the wardrobe and it was full of mold and we couldn't believe it. They didn't give a crap, did they?
They didn't.
They were just like, and what?
The estate agent
And
didn't.
I was like, but isn't this like actually bad for our health? And they were just like, and after a year we moved out because then to top it off.
We're stuck in the year's contract.
Yeah, with a moldy apartment. So I'm for that. People don't deserve to live like that. There's got to be some form of standards because we're seeing it as good landlords, aren't we? But they have got to do stricter rules on people that would just let people sleep in mold.
Well, talking about mold, there's also that we don't know what the deadlines are going to be, but they're also going to set deadlines for things like damp and mold, yeah, where you've got to get it done within a certain time period of when the complaint gets made, and they'll be inspecting it and making sure that you are doing that.
I think that's
good. The houses safe.
Because that's not fair on people, is it? I think you deserve to live in a safe house. And at the end of the day, if you own the house, it is your responsibility, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So don't buy a house with mould if you don't want to sort the mould.
Yeah. The only thing I do think a little bit, and I might be totally wrong here, I don't know, but I remember sort of seeing properties that sort of in London where they're overcrowded them and things like that, they would never get through. But they're renting them for like super cheap because obviously it's overcrowded and got different people in the room. So it's like literally like in London, I can't remember the prices, but it was like half what you could get a normal, decent room for anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're sort of thinking, well, although it's not great, these people are choosing... It's not like they're being forced to live there. They are choosing to live there. And if we get
But are they, though? They're not... They are choosing to live there, but is it because that's all they can afford? So you're taking advantage and going, fine, that's all you can afford, so you can live in the mouldy ones?
Yeah, it is that. But what's the alternative?
Well, there won't be any mouldy ones.
Yeah. So then what happens?
So I know what you're going to say. So the rents go up and they won't be able to afford anywhere.
So now where are they? Homeless. Now, I don't know. I haven't thought it through enough detail.
No, I know what you're saying, but I don't think that would actually be the case.
Well, what would be the case then?
I'm not sure.
Because there's a waiting list for homes, isn't there?
And
we do have homes. I mean, they've just made it so that you can now, we talked about it on the news segment. Oh yeah, now it's legal to... living on the streets in tents.
Yeah, so you might get more people turning to that kind
What's
of
better? Would you
caravans?
Rather live in somewhere that's, it's not great, a bit overcrowded? Now, listen, if it's serious...
Well, it depends. If it's overcrowded, that's one thing, isn't it? But
if it's a serious health issue, like mould.
I was thinking more the serious health issues.
Yeah, just a thought. I don't know. No, don't know the answer.
Yeah, I've got a valid point, though, because you're right. If all those properties were done up, their rents would also skyrocket.
And then suddenly... Does it rule out a market that, yes, we don't love, but by just saying, we don't want that at all?
Yeah. Will there be any houses available for them at all?
I don't know. All right, next. Councils have been given way more power, shocking levels of power. They're going to be able to demand information from you, from third parties. They can look at the banks, the deposit schemes. They can even enter a landlord's business premises without a warrant to secure records in apparently certain situations.
Well, that's very specific, isn't it? There.
Well, it just doesn't define situations, but I don't know what the defined situation. Well, no one does. They're still going back and forth on exactly what it's going to be like.
But they are going to say exactly what situations. They're not just going to leave it that open.
It will be defined. It won't be as open as I'm making it sound. Just as and when they want.
You're seriously getting into territory of don't piss off the council or they might just start.
And there'll be serious fines for repeat breaches, including illegal eviction, attracting up to £40,000.
Wow.
It isn't a free-for-all. Entry to tenanted homes will generally still need 24 hours notice or a magistrate's warrant under the Housing Act.
That seems crazy. Because, I mean, surely they can't just rock up and you're in bed or having a bath.
Yeah.
So, and they're just like, we're allowed in.
Well, I imagine it would be...
It's a bit intrusive, isn't
it? I imagine the tenants would be kind of game for it. If they're reporting you, for example, it means...
could only imagine that they're going in on something behalf... The tenants want them in.
Yeah.
And it's actually... It's the landlords that wouldn't want them in. So, for example, if the tenants reported mould, they've just got right to enter the premises to go and check. Is that what it kind of means?
Yeah.
And you as a landlord can't say, no, you can't.
Yeah, I think so. This is a big one, number 8. There's going to be a rent repayment order. So currently, tenants can claim up to 12 months rent back if the landlord breaks certain rules, e.g. not having a license when they should.
Yeah.
Or harassing them. And they've got 12 months to make a claim. The new rules, claims are going to double. So rather than being at 12 months, it's 24 months rent back. And they've got 24 months to claim. So I saw this actually with a case where a HMO landlord, like rented really nice HMO, rented it out, but he didn't get a license. He didn't know he needed one. The tenants found out. So they all, and they like hadn't paid the rent for ages and stuff as well. But then the rent they had paid, he had to pay them.
Oof,
he had to pay them brutal. Back.
But, see, I understand on, fair enough, the license, but what does harassing, like, what would that go down to? Oh, they thought you rang them too many times. Anyway, you've got to pay them all their bet. Like, what does that even mean? How could you be harassing a tenant?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like that's,
I suppose,
a very...
continually. Well, we had that though, where landlord just went into the property, didn't we? Without telling us. That was the mouldy one, same one.
Yes. And they left that, they ironically did actually something quite nice and left us a hamper. But what did feel really unsettling, that we'd gone out for the day, come back, and someone had obviously just let themselves in.
Put a hamper in our apartment.
Could have been in your boxer drawer for all we know. We don't know what they were up to.
Well, we don't. That's the weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah. What have they been looking at? And then...
Also, like, when you don't know...
Left a hamper, and it felt like a little bit... Well, I quite like the hamper, but...
You could have left your undies on the floor, couldn't you, or anything?
Well, exactly. Like, it is your house, and you kind of have... Like, I know you're a tenant, so... I can see, but yeah, I'd be very interested in what harassment means, because are you just going to get loads of people putting in to try and get their, like, what does, I feel like, what does that even mean? Because I don't feel like I've ever harassed a tenant. Like, I don't know.
You continually harass tenants.
Like, what does that look like, harassing a tenant? And like, the only time we've had it, but I don't think I'd even use the word harassed, was the time they let themselves in. And we just felt very on edge, didn't we? And we said... Can they just come in? Like,
it does. It does seem odd. I agree.
But I just never do that.
What, harass a tenant?
Like, let myself in?
No, I wouldn't. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
it like, is weird. I don't know if that would count.
Do you remember the time we let ourselves back into a property that, to be fair, we left something there, but moved out the day before, so technically it was back at the estate. No one lived there, and it was so funny because I went in, but I didn't realise, because it was owned by a company, they'd already put like. alarms in it. So I went back in because we'd left something really important, but it got stuck behind the door, and it was, do you know, the kid's height chart.
That's right.
That wooden one.
Oh, that is important. Can you imagine if we didn't know what the height the kids were when they were four?
And it was only the day after. So I just didn't even think. Like, we'd lived there 2.5 years, and I knew no one. It still actually sits empty, doesn't it, unfortunately? Yeah. Beautiful property.
This was you harassing the landlord.
I know. And it felt totally fine because we'd moved out the day before. So I just thought, went in, but because it was a company, they'd put, have you ever heard the alarms to actually speak to you?
Like, warning, an intruder is harassing me.
So I went in. As I opened the door, I could only imagine what the neighbours must have thought. It went, you are being watched. You are on camera. Intruder, you are being reported, right?
Did it say it better than that?
What do you mean?
Oh, was it like, because that is not how I imagine it. Warning, you're kind of being watched here. Like, you are an intruder. Like, can you imagine if that actually came like that, though?
At first, I thought someone was in the house, but then I realised...
Was it not an official sounding voice? I would imagine it's
okay,
more
okay, but how can I...
Warning.
No. It sounded more like someone coming over an intercom, like they were watching you, and like, we can see. Maybe they were, and they were like, oh, it was awful. So I ran in, grabbed the water chart, ran, and then I remember calling you and going, I think the police are going to come. I've just broken into our house. And I was on edge for ages, thinking they're going to come round and be like, you've harassed us. Like, and I won't be doing that again. Scared the life out of me.
That is funny. All right, number 9. Talking of harassment, this isn't harassment, this is discrimination.
Okay.
You cannot say no DSS or no children allowed on your ads. It's becoming explicitly illegal to discriminate against applicants because they receive benefits or have children. So you can't put that on the ad. I imagine as well, I mean, because...
Not many have no children, do they? I don't feel like that's one we've really stumbled across. I don't see many.
For apartments, might.
Yeah. No, pets is a big one. We've always struggled with that.
Well, that's number 10, so you've kind of stole the thunder from number 10 now. But, yeah, no pets.
Like, that's a huge one. I thought that was part of that, though.
That was number 9.
Oh, sorry. Number 10, no pets.
The reason is pets is slightly different.
Oh, okay.
Because you... can make them. Number one, you can't unreasonably refuse. So, whereas children and DSS is just like, you can't even ask the question.
Yeah.
With pets, you can't unreasonably refuse. So I don't know what.
So if you had a dog, but if you wanted to move your whole zoo in, so I've got 20 cats and could say, well, hang on a minute.
You can ask the question.
What about if you had a massive dog and they were trying to rent a really tiddly one bed apartment up on the 20th
floor? For example,
floor?
Again, that would be not unreasonable.
It'd yeah, like, to say
come
no.
on, you can't have a dog in my flat. It's
but if like, you've got a big house and they want a dog.
Yeah. So you can't, and you can also require them to get pet damage insurance.
Yeah. That's a tricky one because I can see that from both sides because we want the best of everything. We've really struggled renting with our dog over the years, like to the point where we've like had to make out he's a family pet that we sometimes have to, like, it's been a nightmare over the time, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And you just look and it's no pets. And so sometimes we've begged them, please look at him, come and meet him. And then they've let us. So that, in one way, I'm like, yes, get in. You can take your dog. On the other hand, though, we have Airbnbs and we say, absolutely no pets.
That's different, though.
No, it is. But lots of holiday places accept pets. And I'm just like, ooh, pets. I don't, when it's my properties, I'm like, no one else's pets.
I like the discrimination bans. I remember when my sister moved down here and she's on benefits. She couldn't rent anywhere.
Yeah.
Literally couldn't rent anywhere. Samuel ended up buying a house to let her rent in because everywhere said
But
no.
I'm guessing though, so you still get to pick. So do you know how they come to you and go, so sometimes you'll put in and they go, actually they didn't pick you.
They'll still be able to check your credit references, make sure you can pay and things like that, but they're not allowed to check things like, are you on benefits? Do you have kids? It's not relevant.
That's weird. No, but so are you not allowed to ask how many people are moving in? Because surely you'd have some form of, oh, there's two people moving in. These people here, there's two of them. There's six of them over here. Which one do you want? Well, surely that's a bit obvious if you didn't want kids, which one? With kids is going to be, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. I'm not discriminating, but we'll go for the two-person.
How it looks in principle, I'm not sure. It might be the agent doesn't even tell you. Might be it's not relevant.
So they're not allowed to say how many people are moving in?
Maybe not. Why is it relevant?
Because you might not want, like... So for a house like this, for example, I think it is relevant. So it's a six-bedroom house. But if we went, okay, we're moving 15 of us in, there's no way people would have rented this to us. There would have been like, no, so
So if we had
15 student accommodation.
So if we had 13 kids, would you not be able to rent anywhere? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it would be harder. No, but what about if it wasn't that though? What about if 15 mates wanted to live in it together? You can't discriminate and you can't, like, it's just like, no, you can't know. They wanted to rent it. Now you've got 15 youths in it who all decided to team up and buy a big house.
Well, then where it would probably fall down, I imagine, is that whoever was the lead rental person wouldn't be able to show they could afford it. So they'd have to show the other people to show that they could afford it. And then you could be like, Whereas I think a family's different.
Yeah, but are they not allowed to say? Is it just like between them, they can pay the rent? Oh, well, look, now you've got 15 people living there.
This is what I know, right? Look, I know
you should know more. I know, because I need to know the details.
I know you're desperate to discriminate and you're trying to find all the loopholes so you can harass and discriminate tenants as much as you want, right? Here's the bottom line. You can't discriminate. Whether you're going to know how many, whether you might be able to secretly discriminate, I'm not 100% sure how exactly it's going to work because the rules haven't come in yet. But you can't say no DSS, you can't say no kids, and you can't unfairly not let a family with pets. I'm in favour of all those rules.
Yeah, I am really. All I was trying to make the point is that surely it isn't going to take too much to work out what kind of family is going to
move
in. Maybe
not. So maybe you'll still be able to secretly discriminate.
Yeah, that was my point.
That's all you're trying to figure out, isn't it?
Can I secretly discriminate?
All right, so let's quickly go through them and decide what you think of the rules overall. So number one, Section 21 being abolished. Red flag, I agree.
Definite red flag, that is. Hate that rule.
Number two, no fixed term contract. So it means that the tenant can give 2 months notice. It's just rolling forever. I think green.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, you agree? All right. Number three, the possession grounds rewritten. So, so it's 3 months instead of 2. Stupid rule. I agree. Number four, rent changes only once a year.
Oh, yeah.
Green, we like that one. Number five, the new landlord ombudsman.
Do we have an orangey flag?
I think probably I'm against it overall, but not too bad.
Just a little wave on that one.
Decent home standard.
I'm for that one.
Yeah, green. We've got the council enforcement. Oh, yeah. Council has more powers. Picked up the wrong flag there.
I'm
against that because the councils tend to be rubbish. The rent repayment orders are supercharged. Double. Red flag. Stupid. And then discrimination. No DSS, no children, and no pets. I think green flag. You think red? Of course you do. You want to discriminate. I'm going to go green on that. Overall, red flag.
Yeah. But I think it's not too, too bad, though. It is a bit red flaggy, but...
There you go. You heard it here first. It's a bit red flaggy. This is the groundbreaking insight that you get on the Property Investors Podcast. I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.